You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome to this week's Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm a flower essence practitioner and a flower essence trainer, and my passion is to share with as many people as possible the gifts of the nature kingdom. So when we connect back to the plants, to the flowers, to the trees, and to all the aspects of nature outside of us, not only do our feelings of well-being increase, but also we learn to connect back to our true selves. So in this program today, I'm going to be talking shortly to singer, performer and music facilitator Deanna de Cabarrus about her work and her music and how she helps people express both their musicality and also as a way of expressing themselves. And we're also going to be looking at flower essences for self-expression to enhance the throat chakra and allow us all to easily express ourselves, whether we are just looking to be able to communicate more effectively with the people we love at work, or maybe also you may be a performer yourself or somebody who gives speeches or feels nervous about performing in inverted commas before other people. If so, please keep listening because we're going to be talking about all those aspects. And I look forward to joining you again shortly, where I will be speaking to Deanna. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. I'm delighted to welcome to today's Nature Connections show a lovely lady called Deanna de Cabarrus. Now, Deanna is an experienced singer and a performer. She's a composer and a teacher and facilitator of music. So welcome to the show, Deanna.
Thank you very much. It's delightful to be here.
Yes, yeah, so I'm quite excited to speak to you because I've heard you sing and I've actually seen you sing, and I know how beautifully connecting you, what a beautiful connection you have to people who listen, who come to hear you sing. So, and also having looked at your websites and listened to some of your music, you have a great story to share and some great insights for people to really develop their voices on all levels of themselves. So would you like to just start off by telling us a little bit about the three strands of you, the singer, performer person, the composer person, and the facilitator person?
Yes, well, I think they're all interlinked. So obviously lots of people do compose music that they, you know, some of the music I compose is for chamber ensembles, and I wouldn't be able to play that myself. But I started out writing songs, and then I got more curious and went to study composition, started composing for orchestras and bigger ensembles. But I still love songwriting and performing on my own, and teaching is really an extension of the sharing of the music, in that if the elements of composition they're available to everybody to combine as they wish. And certainly there's in the song based contemporary repertoire, there's so many songs are made of very, very simple building blocks that are put together in ways that become instantly recognisable and really familiar to us. And those building blocks are available to anyone who wants to recombine them. And it can be satisfying and enjoyable for people to get their hands involved in that.
Yes, well, there is a whole healing side, and I realise that that's a sort of vague kind of word, but I think maybe an empowering side of everything you do, which is wonderful, and everything that music offers or our voice offers is to us. So I'd love you to share with everybody a little bit of your own story, because I do think it is really empowering, and how you came from a young child. And I will allow you to share that to what you do now.
Thank you. Well, I always loved music, and I used to get often sort of told to shut up in the back of the car, so I'd be humming incessantly in a slightly out of tune way, which irritated everybody in my family. But I don't really come from an arts background, and nobody in my family is a musician or could envisage the possibility that you could make a career doing that. And so I never really took the idea seriously, and I was always reasonably good at passing exams, and that seemed to be all anyone was interested in. Plus, when I did try and get into the choir aged 8, I was rejected. And I was terribly stung by this, and then decided I couldn't sing, and I wasn't going to sing, and that was that. So I didn't sing for the next however many years, and I went off and did kind of normal degree, academic degrees, and eventually just decided I really wasn't into all that stuff, and I went off to do a foundation in guitar. And that was terrifying, because there were lots of things that I had a proven competence in, and I was abandoning them all for this thing that I had absolutely no proven competence in at all, nor any idea whether I was going to develop any competence. So that was all very scary, but I stuck with it. And eventually everyone else got used to the idea as well. I mainly studied guitar, but eventually I found myself wanting to write songs, and clearly no one else was going to sing them. And so I started singing a little bit, but it was quite scary, didn't sound so great. And gradually I just, again, stuck with it and got more experience until eventually I was able to sing much more comfortably. And it's only really in the last 18 months that I've looked into vocal technique in a deeper level, and it's made a massive difference. And it really made me reflect that this is something most people could have access to. So most people who, if I can do it from the point of view of having a very inconsistent voice and not really being sure how to make a nice sound and not really knowing what was going to come out next, and gradually through practice and repetition and doing it, get to a point where I am much more comfortable with it, and I can go and perform at various different kinds of gigs, whether it's my own music or covers, then that's something that really anyone who's interested in music could probably do likewise. And so Absolutely. when people have this idea that they're not talented or they can't sing, or, you know, just today I put a little post up on my Facebook to see if any of my friends in Edinburgh wanted to get together for some Christmas singing. A friend of mine said, "Oh no, I can't sing." This is nonsense. She's perfectly musical. I could spend an hour with her and change her attitude about that. And so now, because I loved the idea of singing and spent so long being limited and thinking I couldn't, and it took me such a long time to dismantle that belief, that when you look back on it, you think, so some random choir master in Wiltshire in 1980 whatever decided that I couldn't sing, and I just believed that and stuck with it for the next 15 years. You know, that was one person's opinion about some choral music. You know, it was hardly a 360 evaluation of my potential. But when you're a child, you don't have those kind of, you don't have the filters, and you assimilate other people's judgments in quite an unquestioning way. So I just love it when people maybe give themselves a chance to reevaluate what their potential abilities are.
Yeah, that's a powerful story, very powerful story. And I think lots of people listening are going to be really resonating with that, and hopefully maybe just considering that they could explore using their voices. And I think what I really hear from what you're saying as well is that whether or not we go on to actually use our voices professionally, or to, you know, sing in a group or on our own, or it's extraordinary tool for self-expression in just to do that.
Absolutely, it's hugely enjoyable. And when you're singing with other people, whether it's at home, in a choir, around a campfire, because if you're singing the same words, of necessity your breathing starts to come into the same kind of synchronous, I'm just not right finding that synchronicity, not finding the right word, the same timing as everyone else's breathing, because you're having to sing the same lyrics. And when a whole room full of people are breathing at the same time over a period of half an hour or something, it really brings all the energy in the room into alignment. And that's a very kind of nice, on an energetic level, to share that. Because it means that on a biological level, you're kind of all coming into harmony, as it were.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't really matter whether you're making the most fantastic sound or not. It's just a very cool thing to share.
And also how you shared as well, doing what you've done and your journey is continuing. You've actually broken through a lot of the barriers that may have stopped you from actually performing and writing your own songs. So it's also a powerful tool to help us let go of our own inhibitions, whether we're musicians or not.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a slight tendency to segregate music off into one corner of, you know, I think there are many ways in which our contemporary culture and society is structured that we may decide are not optimal. And one of them is perhaps the outsourcing of our entertainment into these so-called hands of the experts. So we think of other people as being the people that are going to do the music, perform it and write the songs, and we don't really know how that, if you're not a musician, then that's not something you do. Whereas actually, there are other cultures where everyone does music, and everyone sings. And the idea of saying, I don't sing, unless the equivalent for us of saying, oh, well, I don't walk. No, there's nothing wrong with my legs. I just don't, it's just not something I do. I don't walk. Do you see what I mean? It's
Absolutely.
It's seen as such a normal part of being human. So it's also about kind of taking the power back on an individual level, that you're not going to just be told what your entertainment is, what's acceptable, either as a level of accomplishment or as a type of entertainment by some dude on telly.
Yeah, so it's taking back our own power. Is this word? Is
absolutely
this empowerment word coming back again, isn't it?
And it's also rejecting the kind of infantilization of somebody else telling you what's what. Why should we accept somebody else's idea of what type of culture is, or what entertainment is suitable for us? And that, I could easily go off on one of my rants about how the narrowness of what's considered of the mainstream media sort of condemns an awful lot of people to only ever experiencing fast food culture that is not very artistically or spiritually nourishing or satisfying. But anyway.
No, well, I think there's a whole conversation, I'm sure, that it could be opened up, and maybe it's something that we could invite people onto your Facebook page to actually discuss with you.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear what people think about that.
What is your Facebook page?
So my Facebook page is facebook.com/CandyThiefMusic.
Right, and that's the name of your band, isn't it?
That's the name of my band, yes.
So I'm always curious about that. What does Candy Thief, where does your name come from?
You know, I think originally, I've never ever got a satisfactory explanation for this. It was originally my nickname on a message forum for a record label that I was involved with a few years ago, and I had a it was a bad old days when I was doing a day job, in a secretarial day job that I hated, and having this little message board going on in lunch breaks made me feel like I still had my secret musician identity. And when I started doing gigs on my own, it was mainly organised by that label, and so I kept that name.
Okay.
And I never really wanted to change it, because I thought, I think before I started out, I'd been involved in bands that were quite sort of hipstery in London, and I was so fed up with that, and it was all about the exact name and who was there and what everyone was wearing, and I just wanted a name that didn't really specify how many of you there were, whether you were girls or boys, what you were. You could just be whoever was there on the day and have a looser, more collective approach.
I always think as well there's a little bit of magic to names. I have several examples in my life of names you kind of think, well, why, you know, what's that about? But you know, they came through at the time and they mean something, so they have their own story to tell. Yes, so you've massively had a very empowering story yourself. So what I'd love to do as well is talk about how you now pass this on to others through your facilitation work. And I know you help people with music, physically learning music, but you also give talks and really just help people discover their voices. So would you talk to us a little bit about that?
So there's a couple of ways in which I do it. There's the singing stuff, which is very practical and immediate. And I was doing that this morning with some people near Edinburgh. And that's normally when people just ask me to come in and do it. But I also do combined songwriting and singing events or courses. And for example, I do quite a lot of work with a creative arts company in London that works with ex-offenders. And for them, the two sides of it are very important, because being allowed to write their narratives is definitely as important as having some technical pointers on how to sing. And a lot of them are very able singers without very much training, and they're not inhibited from a performance point of view, but they've never really been given the tools to express themselves in terms of their own narrative. And I do think one of the purposes of art is to hold a mirror up. And the mirror is incomplete if there are sections of society that are never allowed to tell their own story. So I think that's quite important. And other ways that I kind of connect to people in a more long range ways, I do video blogs and tuition videos that people can access online, and that just to have daily workouts they can do if they want to tackle some aspect of their singing. And that's something I want to keep developing. So eventually, in fact this afternoon, decided to do a series called 5x5, which is going to be 5 5-minute videos to get you going either in singing or guitar.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we will let you share how people can get hold of those, because they sound fascinating. I like the number 5 aspect as well, because I always think of that as being the number of the heart. So that's a powerful number. So before we say goodbye, you can share with everybody how they can find out about that. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Now, I know that I've heard you talk about this in previous conversations that we've had, but when you work with others, I know you shared with me that sometimes people, it's the first time they've actually been asked what they think and how they feel. Could we talk a little bit about that? Because I think certainly in the work I do, I do also totally agree that so often people, even people who work within the world of healing and energy, sometimes they're totally stumped when you ask them how they feel.
Well, sometimes it's seen as, people can have the idea that it's sort of selfish for them to put their own ideas about something first. Sometimes it's been so important to them to fit into whatever their environment was that it wasn't appropriate for them to voice what it was they thought. Sometimes people's survival may have depended on fitting in, and therefore there was a strong sort of pressure to not individuate. And when people, I think it can be quite a profound experience for people feeling like they're being heard for one of the first times, or feeling like there are people who are going to listen to what they've got to say, or feeling like there is even any point articulating how they feel. And in fact, when I meet people for the first time, I quite often enjoy asking them to tell me 5 outstanding things from the last 12 months of their life. And for lots of people, they find themselves really stumped for a few minutes. And then once they've started thinking about it, they get on a real flow. But we can lose the habit of kind of reviewing our experience and really noticing what we feel about things.
So it's a great way to keep people really in tune with all aspects of themselves.
And there are lots of little, you know, writing exercises you can do to that trigger responses about what you think about things or how you feel. There's lots of different types of questions you can ask to get that flow going. But yeah, it is something that is not habitual for quite a lot of people.
Yes, it's not something.
If you think about it, that's very disabling. No, but it's not something we're taught, and that means then that therefore implies it's quite hard to set goals. If you can't set goals, how can you move towards them? I mean, I feel like most of the useful insights I've learned in life I've stumbled across quite by accident, and it would be, if you can imagine an alternative education system where people were where children were encouraged, rather than simply learning to conform, although it's important to learn how to have some discipline, it's also important to learn to identify how you really feel about something and what you really think. And quite often you're taught to repress that because it's not appropriate in that environment. Then you leave school with all this habit of not knowing what you think, or even when I left school, the very idea that I was even entitled to consider doing something that just because I wanted to just didn't cross my mind.
yeah. So music in schools is possibly one of the few places that people can actually put their own selves into what, into the space, into the container that is the classroom.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it's done well, music in schools can be really powerful because there's an opportunity to express yourself, and, you know, there's a kind of safely mediated environment where you are actually encouraged to express an emotion in your performance in a way that isn't possible in the history lesson particularly, or maybe you can inject some emotion into English stories or creative writing or art, but there aren't that many safe spaces in the classroom where you can do that, not least because you're being probably judged by your peers quite a lot of the time, and the constraints of the environment require you to, you know, ideally conform to and ingest during other lessons. So I think well provided and well thought out music lessons can do supply a rare chance to express.
And the resulting stress relief that comes from that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And my knowledge on this subject is only quite kind of incipient. But over the last few years, so the supervisor I worked with when I did my master's, he's been developing a lot of ways of researching the effect of music on stress. And there's some fairly well documented research into, obviously when you sing, that slows down your breathing, and that has quite a beneficial effect on your stress levels, and singing in a group is supposed to have that effect as well. But he set up this charity in the Balkans, and he tested participants, which were generally orphans from Balkan conflict, for stress levels before and after different types of emotional and musical engagement, and found their cortisol levels to generally, which is an indicator of stress, generally fall afterwards. So, you know, I think it is there's just nothing that does what music does, apart from music, if that makes sense.
Totally, yeah.
So it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, so hopefully encouraging everybody out there, whether it's parents or wanting, or who have children wishing to express themselves musically, or adults, shall we say, who are wanting to do that, it's a great has great healing benefits on the whole of the body.
Definitely, and actually it's not just a kind of healing thing, it encourages different types of cognitive and neural connections.
Yeah.
So piano is a particularly good one for this because you're using your left hand and your right hand, and it encourages cross hemisphere neural connections, which have, and again, I'm really not an authority on this, but it's increased mental and cognitive performance is associated with having loads of connections.
Yeah.
So it can help basically map your brain in a way that then prepares it for other types of cognitive activity.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Absolutely fascinating. And I know that you, although we haven't spoken about it explicitly today, that you are in tune with the more spiritual sides of how the body works and connecting to that. And so obviously when we sing or even play a musical instrument in some way, we're really giving our chakras a workout, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, singing in particular will be associated with the throat chakra, and sometimes it can run alongside other types of therapy. If someone, for example, experiences persistent sore throats, obviously wouldn't advise singing while you have a sore throat, but that can indicate a kind of problem or blockage around the throat chakra, and singing can be a good parallel thing to do alongside whatever other therapy is being explored. Because you're moving, I mean, it's a mechanical energy and you're moving it around, and you're moving air from your diaphragm upwards. So it's getting things moving.
And I think also it's very powerful for the heart chakra, isn't it? Because you're actually allowing that, you know, the lungs are involved, that whole top half of the chakra system, it becomes very has a lot of energy move through it, becomes very empowered when we use our voices consciously.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're, you know, the you're originating the sound from the diaphragm and using your abdominal muscles to mm-hmm. kind of control the flow of the breath. And, you know, if you're thinking of breath as being associated with the energy and chi, then taking controlling the flow of it in a deliberate way and making sure your you know, your breathing is going to alter. You're probably ideally not going to be breathing from your chest so much. So all of that does have quite profound energetic implications.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, I think this is really important to share, that when we first started to speak, before we started recording the interview today, something extraordinary. Nature gave you a great sign, didn't she?
Absolutely. So I was sitting in my third floor, my desk, which is in a bay window on the third floor. And so it has a, there was an enormous rainbow right across the sky. So the two ends of it were on either bay window on the side, on left and right, and the middle of it went right over the central window. I mean, as if I had drawn it there with some sort of big spray can, going into the tops of the now rusty coloured leaves on the treetops I can see outside my window. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Mm. Yes. So the first couple of minutes you were just like, wow.
Yeah, I was completely wow. gobsmacked. I don't think I've ever seen one that big, certainly not outside my window before. Mm. So that was absolutely a total treat.
Yes, yes, a sign of some kind as to the power of the word. And I think also, because of the work that I do, is that the total abundance that you have to share, you know, and the potential of all that you do wow. and all the messages that you share.
Well, that's great. You know, I hope people will be able to get some enjoyment from their own possibilities.
Absolutely. And I think this is what all about. And all the way through speaking to you, it feels very empowering what you do. And I think it's a great word to describe what you do. So I'm going to invite you very shortly to tell everybody how they can find out more about you and to go and listen to some of your music and the different aspects of your work. But first of all, I always invite people that come onto the Nature Connection show to offer a practical tip so that whoever we are, whoever's listening, we can just sneak off after or actually do it while we're listening, just something that connects us with you and what your message is.
Okay, perfect. Well, if we were having a singing session, the first thing I'd advise is to get into a kind of comfortable posture, maybe a couple of shoulder rolls, make sure you're nice and relaxed but not slumping. Ideally standing up, but you can do this sitting down. And then you're going to aim to take a nice relaxed breath from your abdomen, and we're going to send it through the front of the face, through the nose. And the point of this isn't to make a nice sound. It's really to start feeling where things are resonating. So it's going to be on an sound. And maybe sort of, and you're, if you to take a breath in and then you go, and then if you put your, while you're doing it, if you put your fingers and gently touch kind of the sides of your nose, just kind of above your nostrils to the sides, you should be able to feel a gentle vibration. And that's the air vibrating in the front. If it's not vibrating there, it's because the air hasn't come forward and you might need to give it a little bit more welly whilst not straining. So just have a little go at that. Nice breath in. And so the idea behind that is that it starts getting you used to moving the breath and the sound into a slightly different position from the speaking position. In order to have longer term control over the sound, is sending it forward is quite an important building block, because if we sing from the back of our throat, that tires out your throat quite quickly, and it also means that in the long term you've got less flexibility and less control and you can't go up as high. So that's my one tip to get people started. You may notice if you do it a few times that you can actually also feel your eye sockets and your forehead vibrating a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just a question of bringing your attention into it. It's not something that you'll notice until you start sort of thinking about it. But with this, as with everything else, directing your attention is all.
Yes, absolutely. And so would this also be useful for people who stand up in front of audiences and speak?
Yeah, you know, I think it probably would be. I would say, yeah, warming up at whatever you're doing is a really good idea. For those people, probably also some lip rolls would be good, and that is when you take a good breath, and then you send the air out of your lips on a kind of R sound or a brr sound, so like brr,
Okay.
again, it needs enough air to make it roll, and that just means that your lungs and your stomach are working to project your voice. So yeah, I think it probably would be good for people who are going to speak.
Yeah, because it's just something I'm interested in myself because I do a lot of talking through what I do, and my voice can get tired. So I know that I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people. And in Chinese medicine, teachers always suffer from a lack of, well, not a lack of, they can get depleted lung qi quite easily. So it's always interesting to actually
Interesting.
know of ways that we can all just, keep that energy moving.
Absolutely. I think also things like the lip roll, because it takes a lot of air, you will need to engage the diaphragm. And if you're supporting with lots of breath, that will should help with the lung getting depleted, because quite often when we talk or when we're in our normal going about normal lives, we tend to breathe from the chest in quite a shallow way. And that's not as supportive for making sound, as because sound is essentially the vibrating air over your vocal cords. So the more air there is, and the kind of stronger and more directed the current of air, the column of air is, the more effectively everything's going to work, and the less your throat's going to strain. So yes, I think that probably would have implications for teachers.
Yes, so great. Excellent. Wonderful. Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed so much listening to you today, and I love hearing your story. I love the work that you do with others, not just to help people make music, but to empower them. And I love the research that you've shared with us as well. So could you tell everybody how they can find out more about you?
Yes, well, thank you. It's been lovely talking to you. And for daily workouts and things for your voice, probably the best place to go is the blog on the Key to Music website, which is a music tuition service that I co-run. So that's www.keytomusic.co.uk. And the tab you want is free vids. That's where the blogs live. Then for, listening to see whether you think my journey from choir reject to internationally performing singer-songwriter has been successful or not, you can go to candythief.bandcamp.com and have a listen to some of my original stuff. And I'm always available for parties, weddings, and everything else. So I'd love to see you on any of the blogs or Facebooks or websites. And if anyone has a request for something they particularly, or a question that they have, or something they'd particularly like me to cover, I'm really happy to do that. I'm planning a little, yeah, as I said earlier, a little series called 5x5, just 5 minute videos on singing and things like that.
I saw as well, you have a YouTube channel, so people can actually pick that up all through your Keys to Music site, can they?
Yes, should all be friendly to each other and synced up.
Brilliant.
I've got two YouTube channels, and there should be things on both of them. There's a Key to Music channel, which I think is youtube.com, Key to Music 1. And then there's mine, which is Candy Thief.
Okay.
So I don't want to kind of give too much confusing information, but
On one of
yes.
those places that people can find out about you. So yes, wonderful. Thank you so much, Diana, for
Absolute pleasure.
sharing
Thank
your
you for having
time
me.
today and your wisdom. And I wish you much, much luck and much, much sharing with people of all your potential.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
You're
Thank you for
welcome.
having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connections show. My name is Sarah Turner, and you're listening to Natural Health Radio. So I hope you enjoyed listening to Diana de Cabarrus talking about the work that she does, and I do hope that you'll go and listen to her music and to have a look at some of the features of her websites where she'll be able to show you more of what she does and help you towards expressing yourself more easily. What I would like to find out first of all is how you got on. Having listened to last week's program, I hope that if you did listen, that you took part in some elements of the ceremony that I suggested to you, all to do with letting go as autumn comes upon us. Because last week it was almost like the beginning of autumn here in the UK, as we started to lose the light. And also, as the temperatures dropped, it really felt like something shifted. So we talked last week about essences for letting go and also for assimilating light in a whole new way. So I'd love to know how you got on, if you did go through some parts of the ceremony that I suggested in order to really dissolve any of the old beliefs that no longer serve you. It's a fabulous time of year to do that. If you didn't manage to listen, you can go back and listen to the archive of the program. It really is a great time of year as nature begins to release herself and as energies drop downwards. It's the perfect time for us also to think about what can we let go of, what is in our lives that no longer serves us. And when we actually write them down and actually perform small acts, for example, as I explained last week, one way of doing this is actually writing down the aspects of ourselves that we no longer wish to believe in or hold on to, writing them down, and then going out into nature and burying them in the ground. Doing things like that really enhances the power of the intention. And when we do energy work, the intention behind what we do is one of the most powerful tools. So I'd love you, if you didn't do that, there's still time. It's always a great time to do this kind of work. So you don't need to worry that you missed the window in any way. So I really encourage you to look at doing that. Have a listen to last week's show. Remember to plant your new visions as well. Again, plant them like seeds in the earth. So turning to this week and continuing on the theme that Deanna introduced to us, we're going to be looking at how we express ourselves and which parts of us actually help us perform that function. So as Deanna and I were alluded to in a small way during her interview, the throat chakra is the part of our physicality which actually allows us to express ourselves. Now, if you're new to chakras in any way, all that means is it's another way of seeing ourselves as energy bodies. The way that we are brought up in this modern world of ours is to see ourselves purely as physical beings. And when something goes wrong in the body or emotionally, we look at trying to fix the physical body. And of course, we do need always to consult our doctors or natural health practitioners. So if you are concerned about your physical self or emotional self or even spiritual self in any way, please do consult a doctor or a natural health practitioner. What I'm discussing here, flower essences and essential oils, are not replacements for medical health treatment. But when we start to see ourselves as bodies of light rather than physical machines, everything can change and we can gain whole new perspectives about how to help ourselves. So the part of our energy self that actually allows us to express ourselves is the throat chakra. Now, this is the energy center, which is all about self-expression. It is the house of the physical larynx or voice box. So when we have discomfort in the physical part of ourselves, clearly, as I explained before, we do need to consult professionals around this. But what we can also do is, if when we look at the energetic aspect of the body, it can help us to understand why the energy is maybe not flowing quite as well as it should. And we can look at ways of actually preventing any weaknesses that we might have from reoccurring. So many, many people have sensitivities around the throat, and I've found from experience that many people in the healing professions do suffer from maybe tendencies to get sore throats, or really just to be very vulnerable around the throat area. So if this speaks to you, then please keep listening, or you might know somebody who you can help with this information. So the throat is, from an, in an energy sense, is the bridge between the head and the heart. And we do grow up in worlds and are educated in worlds that really teaches us to think from our heads. We have exams that measure us by our ability to memorize facts and figures. We are often encouraged to make decisions that are head-based on logic, on whether it's the right or the wrong thing, whether it's the sensible thing, which is based very much on head information. And of course, we always do need to pay attention to the logic and the rational side of ourselves. That's not to discount the function of the mind. It has a wonderful, wonderful role. But as the energies shift on our planet, we are now dropping down into more heart centers. So actually allowing the throat to do its job of being the bridge between the head and the heart, and allowing it possibly to thinking it more of expressing yourself through the heart rather than expressing through the head, but allowing both of those areas in the body to do exactly what they're good at. The head is great at thinking and coming up with rational, logical decisions. The heart is the most powerful energy center in the body and is the master of actually being true to ourselves and expressing our true selves in the world, which of course is where the nature kingdom comes back in. So the throat chakra is the place where we express how we feel. It's the place where we express our true selves. Now, the colour that's traditionally associated with the throat chakra is blue, more of a sky blue rather than an indigo blue. So one way that you can actually help yourself if you have a sore throat or some discomfort around that area, if you can find yourself a blue scarf, that can be very, very healing. The vibration of colour is very powerful, very, very powerful, and it can really, it's very subtle, but when used correctly and regularly, it can make a big difference to us as energy selves. The colour turquoise is the coolest colour on the colour spectrum. So if you actually have any inflammation around the throat area, wrap yourself, see if you can find yourself something turquoise to actually wrap around your throat, and you might notice that you will feel better much more quickly and express yourself beautifully in the process. So in the next part of the Nature Connections show, I'm going to be talking to you about some flower essences and some essential oils that can help you keep your throat chakra running smoothly and also help you express your true self in the world. I'll be back shortly. You're listening to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio, with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. Now, we've just been talking about the throat chakra and how being aware of the energy centers in our body can really help us get to know ourselves better, to have a more preventative way of looking at ourselves from a health perspective, and also from the point of view of this show is really helping ourselves to find ways to express ourselves more truthfully and more authentically in the world. And we're going to talk now about some flower essences that can help you do just that. Now, if you're new to flower essences, they are a modality that is extremely safe. There are no contraindications at all. You can safely give flower essences to small children, to babies through their mother's breast milk, to elderly people, to people who are poorly. It's very, very easy to do. You just put a drop of the flower essences in water, or you can dilute it down into dosage strength. If you'd like to find out more about how to do that, there is a free pack on my essentiallyflowers.com website where you can actually look at information that can help you understand more about flower essences and begin to use them easily in your life. So let's talk a little bit about which flower essences could be useful if you, let's say, need to speak in front of a group of people. Maybe you are a musician yourself and perform and feel nervous about that. Maybe you're somebody who would like to share of yourself more easily in the world, but hold yourself back. In fact, very often people don't share of themselves at all for fear that they won't be heard, that people are not going to accept them, people won't like them, people will judge them for what they say, for not doing it as well as they think they should. And the perfectionist side of us often holds us back. And although it's great to try and be the best versions of ourselves in the world, it's always a shame when we don't share of ourselves at all for fear of getting it wrong or not doing it quite as well as we should. So I'd like to share with you several essences that you can easily get hold of that may well help you with that. So there are many, many flower essences that could help with this, and it's always a good idea to consult a flower essence health professional in order to find the exact right essence. But here are some starters. And you might just find that these can really, really help you. Now, the first one I'd like to talk to you about is from the yarrow family and is in fact the golden yarrow. Now, yarrow is the alchemelia plant in herbal medicine. It's very, very well known. It's less well known as a flower essence, but to anybody in the flower essence world, many, many people know about the virtues of the yarrow family for being wonderful protective essences. Now, golden yarrow in particularly is wonderful for people who avoid the limelight or avoid performing in front of others, such as maybe speaking or singing, due to fear. Now, often we just say to ourselves, oh, I'm too scared, this is too much for me, so therefore I'm not going to do it, it's me that's wrong, it's my fault, and we just kind of close ourselves down thinking that there's something about us that's wrong. Now, where golden yarrow can help is actually shining a light on a different aspect of that and actually recognizing that many, many people who do have beautiful gifts to share with the world, one of the reasons they have those wonderful gifts is because they are extremely sensitive. And sensitive is a word that is used often with a little bit of a negative connotation in our modern world, but in the more energy world, it's a beautiful gift to have. Yes, sensitive people do need maybe to take care of that part of themselves, but if we actually look the other side and spin a positive light on sensitivity, it's a beautiful gift. So when we take care of that sensitivity in ourselves, we are still then able to go out and share with ourselves. So golden yarrow is a flower essence that does take care of that acute sensitivity and allows the person to go out and be very open energetically, to flow in their speech, to flow when they're playing their musical instrument or when they're singing, or really just at any time when they have to share of themselves what might feel quite intimately. So it allows the energy to flow while also allowing the person to feel protected and safe. Now, with any flower essence, it's not a one-stop fix. You may need to take the essence for a while. Some people feel the benefits very quickly. Other people may need to take them over a period of time and to have a witness, which could be a friend or another health practitioner or a professional flower essence practitioner, to actually help them see the changes that occur when you take flower essences, and maybe also to work through any of the areas that may come up for discussion as you go through them. But it's a great way to start. So I encourage you, if this speaks to you, to maybe find some golden yarrow. Now, there are different flower essence producers that make Golden Yarrow. The two that I know of are FES, Fluorescent Services. So if you live in the United States, you may want to look for the FES essences. My own range of Moonflower essences also makes Golden Yarrow. So if you live the European side and are listening, then you may well be able to access the Moonflower more easily. FES essences are also available here in Europe. So there's one essence. The second essence I'd like to talk to you about is the Bush Fuchsia Essence by the Australian Bush Essences. Now, the Bush Fuchsia Essence is a wonderful balancer of the right and left hemispheres of the brain. And we know that whenever we have difficulties expressing ourselves, then there may be some imbalance happening between those two hemispheres. So this essence is wonderful for anybody who needs to express themselves through speech. So it's actually an essence that I use quite a lot. In fact, I took some before recording today's program. It helps with that part of ourselves that might tend to stutter or pause too much in speech or fall over our words, or you know the words are in your head but they just don't come out your mouth in the right order, or maybe don't come out at all. So again, if this is you, you will recognize that tendency. It's been an essence that's been used very easily and with great success with children or anybody with learning difficulties. So it's wonderful for any speaking. And really what Bush Fuchsia helps us with is any aspect of ourselves that is ignoring the true inner self that's wishing to speak. We might actually talk about this as being our gut feelings. We spoke before about the throat being the bridge between the heart and the head. So when we ignore the energy that's coming up through the guts, through the heart, out through the throat, is often when the energy starts to, the flow is not so smooth and it starts to come out and stops and starts. And we feel uncomfortable because that's happening. So again, if you love the Australian Bush essences and you find them easy to get hold of, and if this essence really, really speaks to you, please do go and find Australian Bush essence. It's called Bush Fuchsia. The Bush essences are widely available both in Europe and in different continents. So that's a great one to get if you don't find fluorescences easily, or if you don't live in a city, you can find that easily on the internet. And the third fluorescence I'd like to talk to you about today is one of my own range, the Moon Fluorescences, and it's Bluebell. Now, we're dropping into very different energies here. I can just feel that through my own voice changing as I start to talk about Bluebell. So the first thing I'd like you to do is just, if you are familiar with walking through a bluebell wood, I'd just like you to stop and just visualize that for a second. Just imagine yourself going through some green fields and you start to go into a wood clearing. And all of a sudden, this beautiful carpet of bluebells opens up in front of you. If you've ever been into a bluebell wood, it's a very, very magical experience. If you don't live in a part of the world where that's possible, you might like to actually go on the internet and just Google that a little bit. In fact, on my Moonflower Essences site, on the Meet the Flowers page, there is actually a short video of a bluebell wood, and I walk around a little bit in this wood. So I really encourage you to get that feeling into your energy system. And when we walk into these bluebell woods, whether actually physically or whether we're watching it happen, let's say on our computer through a video or just in our heads, one of the first things that we do is we stop and we become still. There's an element of stillness that comes through the bluebell. We take a deep breath. The energy drops down, the shoulders drop. And there's just a part of us that starts to be still, starts to slow down and just separate ourselves from the busyness of that head space and just drop down into the more peaceful energies of the heart. Now, as I'm sure you know, the bluebell is this beautiful sky blue colour that I spoke about before, which is the colour of the heart chakra. So its colour itself is beautiful for actually just allowing that vibration into the energy system. And it's also got a bell shape. So if we think of the bell, in traditional Chinese medicine, our voice is like a bell, our voice box is like a bell. So when the bell is either rusty or is not doesn't have enough energy for it to ring itself properly, or maybe the actual casing of the bell is a little hole in it or is not perfectly round, the bell doesn't sound properly. So that's the whole energy center of the throat chakra. So blue bell is all about ringing out our true sound in the world. So yes, it may help with people who speak or people who perform, but if you have fear around those, or if you have difficulty getting words out of your mouth, maybe the bush fuchsia or the golden yarrow might be more applicable. It very much depends. But if you're actually looking for a way of in really just connecting with your true self and allowing that self to very gently, but in a very profound way, to emerge into the world, just and allowing your own voice to getting used to the sound of your own voice and the messages that you carry within your own system, the bluebell from Moonflower Essences may well be a beautiful essence for you. And finally, today in the Nature Connections show, I'd like to share with you a different way of actually looking after your energy system, and this is actually using essential oils to do that. Now, they are more physical than flower essences, so there are contraindications to essential oils, and therefore certain amounts of little bit more of self-care that's needed when using them, but also again extremely easy to use. And I'd like to talk to you about a throat chakra blend. This is actually made by Cat's Eye Blends. A Cat's Eye Blends are a wonderful range of very high grade, very pure vibrational essential oils that are made by Christos Katsis. And they are the blends that I myself use for myself, my own personal self, with my clients, and also in my business with my flower essence students. And also, I teach people to make products using these lovely blends of oils. The one that I'd like to share with you today is the throat chakra blend. Now, it fits beautifully with everything that we've been saying today and works extremely well, both as a way of inhaling the blend to actually allow the oils, the aromas of the oils, to really filter into the energy system, relax the brain, and then allow different parts of our energy system to open up and flow. So if you love fragrance and want another way of actually using an energy type healing to actually help yourself express yourself, the throat chakra would be extremely healing. You can also take a drop of this and put it into a cream and apply literally, physically to the throat chakra. So let me tell you which oils are in this. You have benzoin, chamomile, hyssop, juniper, frankincense, lemon, marjoram, sandalwood, cedarwood, myrrh, tea tree, thyme, peppermint and clove. So as you can see, there's an extraordinary amount of different essential oils that are all blended together in a very perfect way in order for the oils to come together and really create a way of allowing the energy system, in particular the throat chakra system, to function well and for you to be able to express yourself in the world. So there are some lovely ways that you can do that. You can put flower essences inside the essential oils. You can mix them together and make yourself some beautiful products. If you'd like to find out more about the essential oil blend, you can purchase them through a site called AromaVision, AromaVision, aromavision.co.uk, and have a look at the energetic blends of essential oils and you will find the throat chakra blend. So I hope you've enjoyed today's program. I've really enjoyed talking to Deanna and exploring different ways that we can allow the nature kingdom to assist us in expressing ourselves more easily and more comfortably in the world. I hope that you will join us next week, where I will be interviewing another guest on our Nature Connections show and exploring some other ways that you might like to use flower essences and essential oils in your life to make you the best version of you in the world every single day. Many blessings to you, and until next week.